Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That's right, baby. The drive is live.
Damn it, Landry. Got my blood. He got my blood boiling.
Oh,
hey,
no,
we ain't been in the same room right, for a minute, damn it.
That's all right, baby.
Landry Lopez, boy.
Come out the gates firing.
I just hate it. I hate it. I hate the pick. I hate the pick. Lopez, you like it?
I wasn't a huge fan.
Fire.
It surprised me.
I don't like it. I didn't like it.
It didn't surprise me at all. All right. You hear Clint. You hear Tyler in the building. I'm trying to feel my inner Tyler if you're on YouTube and Twitch. I went backwards hat today. You know, as somebody in their 30s, I wanted to make sure I feel that, you know.
I get you're only in your 30s for how much longer?
A couple more days, man.
Is that why you're doing it? It looks good. I like
it. You're inside a week.
Oh, man.
I just... I like it, man.
What are you doing, man?
I like it.
Inside a week.
I'm just saying, people in their... we're in our 30s. Me and Tyler in our 30s. We can pull backwards hat. And I'm just...
But in a few days, I'm going to be the only one on the drive in his 30s.
Got a good show plan.
Hey, man, 40. Yeah. Hey, look here, man. You ain't never going to feel better when you hit 40. You're going to wake up when you're 40, you're going to be like, damn.
No, I've been thinking about this.
I just don't believe that.
Oh,
no,
man.
I don't believe that at all.
I firmly believe it.
I believe that's what you say when you're 40.
Do you feel a lot better at 39 than you did at 36?
My 30s. Yes. Feel great.
4 years different. We're going to get about a 5-day difference, about a 6-day difference here.
I'm having a good time. Yeah, good. Good to be in the 30s. Still in the 30s.
I mean, Tyler's going, by the time Tyler gets up near 40, he's going to be the oldest one of the group. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean.
Clearly.
Tyler just smirked and turned his head.
You're in Tyler. But you're in Friday. Like, you know, we've been running at this pretty hard. And Tyler seemed to be floored when I said I was turning 40.
No, I really was.
I forgot about it, too. I didn't realize you were that close, either. I thought you had a ways to go, too.
I don't know why. I thought you were like 36, 37.
Neither one of you thought I was 36. Shut up, Tyler.
I'm being dead serious. I did not know you were 39.
Listen, don't try to.
Being dead serious.
Smack my little butt to make me feel good.
Let me rephrase that, your big ass.
Don't try to.
You got a little butt with a long crack.
Smack my long butt. Trying to make me feel good. No, you know.
Oh, I'm 36. Dead serious.
You know, I think I was 36 years old. How old are you, Tyler?
I'm 33.
You thought I was 3 years older than you?
I didn't know which. I thought you were in your late 30s, but not coming up on 40.
You're looking good, man. I don't know what you're doing with that hairline, but I'm telling you.
There are listeners who knew I was coming in 40. Stop this.
When did we go? I thought you were 38. When did we
you
go?
You thought I was 38?
Yeah, I thought you had a couple more before you got to. When did we go to Cinco de Mayo over there on the, when did we do that?
Last year at 39.
I didn't realize that was you turning 39. I thought it was 38.
I guess I didn't either. I was there.
I thought it was 38, man.
We went and watched I'm those horses dance and stuff.
I'm happy that I was wrong and you're at 40. You're going to love it. How old's Courtney, by the way?
38.
Yeah.
38 family greats.
Hey,
one behind me.
You're going to be 40, bro. You're going to. Hey, man.
I'm good, man. We don't have to talk about that. I'm 39. I'm in my 30s, baby. In my 30s, feeling good. But I thought the Texans might slide themselves in their 30s, in the 30s in the draft selection, but they stayed in the 40s trying to get in a – thought they might jump up a little bit to try to get somebody they want. I just want to get this from you all of you, Tyler, Clinton, people a part of the Drive family on YouTube and Twitch, those of you on the text line, 713-572-4610. Real talk, what was your reaction? I'm going to assume that you knew prior to the name being called, but what was your reaction looking at the draft at the time when they said it was going to be Kamari Lassiter, the cornerback out of Georgia? He was going to be the 42nd pick where they were staying. What was your honest reaction? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, were you excited right off? Like, were you excited about this? Or did you kind of have to talk yourself into excitement? What was your reaction to the Kamari Lassiter selection at 42?
I had to talk myself into this one, Ron. Did you? I had to talk myself into this one. I thought this thing could not have set up. The first round could not have set up any better for the Houston Texans. And when the second round started, it was all about, you know, getting some picks out of the way and hoping that some guys slid down the draft board and get within three or four or five picks of the Texans picking at 42. And what does that look like? And what does Riverboat Nick and D'Amico Ryans, what do they do at that point in time? And I'm telling you, man, for me personally, the second round could not have played out any better than the way it did. It could not have played out any better than the way that it did. It got to pick number 38, and the Titans go, Big Boy Sweat out of Texas. I'm like, okay, great player. Probably not, although I'm not convinced, it's not probably not a fit for D'Amico Ryan's defense with that 350-pound body.
I thought he went a little early, too. But.
Right. Then all of a sudden, I'm looking at the board, and I'm thinking, Big Brandon Fisk is still on the board out of Florida State. And I thought he was going to last. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't realize that the Rams were going to jump. The Rams jumped up there and took Jared Verse.
Well, it started to be a run on those D tackles.
Yes. It went Sweat. It went Brandon Fisk. And I'm still thinking, you still got Cooper DeJean. You still got Kool-Aid on the board. This is nice. We're going to move. What are we going to do? And then both of those come off the board. Boom. The Eagles take the second corner of the day. The Saints take Kool-Aid.
The Eagles and Saints both trade up above the Texans.
Because they knew what was coming.
To get them.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there at that point, and I'm like, I ain't going to lie to you. I'm scrambling thinking, okay, well, what? Who's left on the board? What in the hell's going on here? And we get Kamari Lassiter. Had to do a little scrambling. I like the pick.
I know you definitely like the position.
I like the position, and I know Nick gets a lot of flack for the position flex, the flexibility, the being able to play multiple positions. But I do think in terms of a guy finding a place on the field to help this particular football team in 2024 take the next step, I like Cooper DeJean for that spot and the ability to play multiple positions in the secondary, really every position in the secondary. Kwame Lassiter is one of those hybrid type corners that can play inside or out, plays with great instincts and plays probably above his tangible skill set, plays at or above his ceiling. I always say that. I think that's a huge plus. Came out of a program that develops the hell out of players, prepares players for the league in Georgia.
Yep.
With Kirby Smart. So I like the guy they ended up getting, but I'd be like, your question about how'd you feel in the moment? I got real excited with four picks to go, thinking they could get one of those guys.
You saw it setting up, and the thought is, like, even around like 35, maybe 34, wherever it was, Newton was still on the board.
Yep.
Right? Like all of those, DeJean was still on the board. Like you said, Kool-Aid was still on the board. Like the thought was, boy, these positions that we need, you know, are there.
Yeah.
If you're
positions that you need, guys we've talked about, guys we've studied, guys that I really, really liked. And again, for me, I made a huge jump from pre-draft conversations. I was like, look, in the second round, you're not going to get somebody that's going to jump off the field for you week one in 2024. It's about role players. And I think that's who Kamari Lassiter ends up. I think that's who the Texans ended up getting. But I felt like at that point in the draft, they could have moved one or two picks and got guys that would have jumped off the screen, very well could have jumped off the screen or the field, if you will, for the 2024 Texans. And so I felt like it was a missed opportunity. I felt like the wind was kind of yanked out of my sails at that point in time when Kwame Lassiter was the next up on the
Kamari,
board.
Kamari, we're going to do that a lot.
What'd I say, Kwame?
Kwame, who played in the league. Yeah, he played for the Saints. I think he went to Vandy.
I think I played against him in college.
He's got kids, and he's got one that just the Colts just picked up as a free agent. But this ain't his kid.
This ain't his kid.
This is a different last.
Yeah, when I saw Kamari get taken when Caserio made that move, I was good with it ultimately because the first thing I was happy to see was that this was a pick on the defensive side of the ball. That's where I wanted the Texans to go with whatever their first pick, wherever that landed. But he wasn't. I mean, Kamari definitely wasn't one of the names I was as familiar with as like a Kool-Aid or one of these guys we had seen taken off the board. So once I dove into, you know, trying to find out more about him, looking at, you know, stuff on YouTube with the kid and everything, I was very good with the pick. Underwhelmed, but good.
From the text line, I think they wanted Cooper DeJean. My reaction was, who? I said, who to the Lassiter pick? My reaction was, and I think maybe you're in this camp too, Tyler. I have full trust in Miko and Nick. I'll make sure I can say that. All right. I knew during free agency and was proven wrong. We got our exciting picks last year. This was about building a successful team. Judgment reserved now. It is hard to think, and clearly, Clint Tyler, they did it this way. But when you look at a lot of what people and how people had it rated, it's interesting that it seems like the Texans, just by what they did and allowed, that they had the Cooper DeJeans, the Kamari Lassiters, the Kool-Aid McKinstry, they had them all in the same, obviously in the same level, obviously in the same type of grade, that same area, which I think most people did. Like, I never heard Lassiter really being talked about as a first rounder. DeJean, Kool-Aid, we heard and saw them in a lot of first round mocks. And we were, that was two of the people we were talking about coming into Friday thinking, good God, they're still on the board. We thought they'd be in the 20s, you know, that they'd be gone. So it's interesting because we know you call him Riverboat Nick. We know Nick ain't afraid. And if Nick had those guys separated enough, I think Nick would have prevented the Saints and would have prevented the Eagles from jumping above him to go get one of those guys. So clearly they have those guys rated in the same area. I'm a bit surprised of that because I thought most people had those two players separated from Kwame Lassiter. Damn it, I just did it. Damn it.
Kamari
Lassiter. Well, yeah. When you just get going and you don't think about it, it's just going to be Kwame.
I never knew I was so fond of Kwame.
I didn't either.
Old Vanderbilt.
You see Lassiter, it's just Kwame. Yeah. But no, that's the thing for me is I saw those two on the board and I'm thinking, all right, they're going to get one of them. And then, bam, I mean, they're jumping up. I'm listening to John Harris and the crew on my way home. And then, dang, I could hear them. Dang, they're coming up. You know who they're going to get? They're getting Kool-Aid. So that was the surprise for me, Clint, is that it went that way. They went in that form because I feel like those two were ahead of Kwame.
Well, the two guys the four guys that got drafted before Kamari Lassiter are guys that, again, to me would have made an instant impact on his team. And would have been more guys. And look, maybe Lassiter ends up being that guy. I just don't see it. I didn't see it before. I don't see it now. And I feel like I don't know if I agree that they had them graded as much as I think it takes two to tango. And when them other teams started jumping ahead of you, I wonder how much in play they were, how much they expected that at that point in time. Are you jumping to try to make a trade there? Are you even interested at that point in time? So, needless to say, I know me personally, the way I wanted it to unfold was right there in the reach of the Texans, and they didn't do nothing. The draft, I'm not talking about the Texans, the draft just teased the hell out of me the way it unfolded. But we'll see. Well, I mean, we'll see. Clearly, I mean, you're talking about a second round graded corner that comes with some high praise from everybody that's met him, from his college coach Kirby Smart to Nick and D'Amico now. He seems to be a guy that they have zero doubt about helping this football team take the next step.
But wouldn't you say, though, clearly, if they wanted to go up and get any of those guys that we're talking about, with having two twos this year, a third, two fours, which they eventually moved up in the third round to get the safety, but two fours, two twos next year,
yeah,
or another two next year. Like that, they could have gone up and made that happen.
Yeah, maybe. I know the Saints and the Eagles were the two teams that traded up to get spots ahead of them. I just don't know. I don't have the draft order right in front of me to know where, how far they jumped, and so what the compensation was to the teams that were drafting ahead of the Texans. I don't know what that looked like. And maybe the Texans weren't willing to give that up to get there. I don't know. I don't know exactly how that unfolded, but I know it teased the hell out of me. I know that much. I know I was getting real excited about it. Hell, I mean, I'm sitting there going, hell, it can be one or two or three guys now. Let's see, let this thing unfold.
Yeah.
Who?
So what? Hey, so what's the expectation for Kamari Lassiter? I mean, this is a second round pick, because I'm gonna tell you this right now. My expectation of Kool-Aid, and to that even Cooper, with those guys, if they would have gotten one of them, and I just say it out loud, all right, these guys were brought in, many thought would be first rounders, and they are battling two failed former top 10 picks that are now on their third teams. My expectation for Kool-Aid, for damn sure, and Cooper, would be that they win that battle. That they win that battle over C.J. Henderson and Jeff Okudah. That would have been my expectation. My expectation for Kamari Lassiter doesn't feel the same. Like I don't know that I expect him to compete a lot. I don't know that I expect him like I would a Kool-Aid to jump right in. That's what I'm saying. I wonder what the expectation is. Well, second round pick in a position where you have. You had young journeyman.
Sure.
Like it's a
yeah. I'm going to take a different approach to this. To me, this play was for nickel defender. We've all made jokes about Tavarius. Tavarius Thomas. We all made jokes about him last year, but I'm dead ass serious. There ain't no. He shouldn't have never. I don't know how he survived as many games as he did at nickel.
I just don't know how many jokes they were.
Well, that had to hand. Good point. That had to handcuff D'Amico multiple times in games for hell, almost 2 months, if not more. So you end up bringing Dez King back. I like Dez King. I really like Dez King when you butt him up against Tavier Thomas and what the nickel defender looked like, that position room looked like with the Texans last year. Kwame Lassiter to me.
Kamari.
Gosh dang it.
Kamari. We gotta start introducing shots.
It's unbelievable. It just rolls off, man.
We've done it five times.
Holy hell.
We have got to start introducing some sort of a punishment here with this. Let's start hammering y'all
with a buzzer when you do it.
It won't happen again.
Yes,
From this side, it won't.
I'm not going to sit here and promise that.
But this has got to be a slot, a nickel defender play to me.
You think so?
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, King in the fold? Yes. Yeah. I think it's like, so to answer your question, I feel like, I mean, Nick is on record, and maybe even D'Amico too. I'm not sure which one, but I know I've heard one of them talk about his position flex, his ability to play multiple positions inside and out. I got to believe if you've got two former top 10 picks at one corner opposite Derek Stingley, and you got Dez King with really nothing behind him at the nickel defender position, I got to believe that Kwame Lassiter is at the very least depth for Dez King. And if we're talking about expectations, I expect him, if that is where they play him, I expect him to push the hell out of Dez King. Because I like Dez King, but Dez King is not good enough for me, in my opinion, where a second-round pick that's, 21, 22 years old shouldn't come into the fold and push him for his damn job immediately.
In a minute, but if you're saying that about Dez King, you got to be saying that about C.J. Henderson and Jeff Okudah. But it seems like you don't get the feel that Kamari is much of an outside corner.
If I'm looking for, to me, if I'm Nick and D'Amico, which clearly I'm not, and I'm looking for an outside corner, I'm doing everything I can, at the very least in that moment, to go get Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's an outside corner, right? I mean, at least I think he is at this level. Instead, they wait and they end up with a guy that they themselves say, you know, the ability to play multiple positions, the speed thing's not a real big deal. Well, it's not a big deal if you're going to be protected with safeties over the top all the time. It's not a big deal if you're not going to be put on an island with a corner, right? So, I don't know. It seems to me, Ron, like hearing what they're saying, knowing kind of what the kid did in college for what that's worth, and then looking at this roster makeup, it just makes sense that they looked at their depth chart right now and said, we got to find some help at the nickel defender position.
All right, we're going to be wall-to-wall keeping you and giving you our thoughts on this draft. But we want to duck in here. The Astros made a roster move, but that's just one. There's another roster move that they need to go ahead and make. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm personally going to hold my feet to the fire. If I say Kamari's name in the form of Kwame again, every time I say it, I'm just going to smack the hell out of myself.
That's harsh.
Every time.
That's what a leader does.
I'm going to smack the hell out of myself every time. Every time I mess it up.
I can't wait.
It hurt. I'm going to lie to you. That stung a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like it did.
Just let the glasses a little bit. But I'm going to hold my feet to the fire. All right?
I, however, am not. Just to be clear.
You just got to keep on
going.
Don't
you even think about reaching over here one of them backhands.
No, my arms ain't that long. All right. Listen, we'll get to the draft because there's a lot to unpack there. But the Astros do make a move here, fellas. And after that two-game sweep, which was needed in Mexico City, they have called up their prospect, Joey Lupercito. They called him up. He leads the minors in homers. Does strike out a little bit. He leads the minors in homers. He has been over there, you know, getting some reps at first base. He's an outfielder, but he's been getting some reps at first base. I know we heard from Joe Espada and coaches saying that it looked like Joey was picking it up better, was playing better over there. So he is going to be up with the team tomorrow. So that's one move, right? And what's the move? Have they made the move, Tyler, that will get him on the roster? I think they got to make another move, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. They did make a move, and they sent Cabbage down to Sugarland. But the corresponding move for this one is not going to come until tomorrow. So we do not know as of right now.
Guys, it's time.
Absolutely, it's time. The guy deserves it. And the guys up on this big league level, they're not doing anything to keep it from happening.
No. Yeah, it's time for that. But really, it's time. I think they've got to go ahead and just cut ties with Jose Abreu at this point. And listen.
Get out, damn.
And when I say cut ties, I don't mean he needs to go on the 15-day IL. Clint, I know you talked about a 2-week break. It's over. You know it. I know it. I think he knows it. And I know he had two hits the other day. But it's over. You're giving, which is an everyday position, to somebody who is making $20 million. He is on the bench as much as he is starting for John Singleton. And now they're calling guys up. And I remember we had Tony on, Clint. He said sometimes it's the pride that gets in the way for teams to admit that they're wrong. Listen, I mean, this isn't helping you with him being up there to begin with, right? Like we saw last year came about. We're looking at it this year. This is completely different, Clint. And I just think you got to rip the Band-Aid off. I know you're paying him money, but you're not getting anything out of him anyway. And to think that this thing is going to get better the rest of this year and next year, I think you're just hurting your team when you play him.
Well, you're definitely hurting the team. I mean, hell, it's at the end of the day, I mean, you've got to get some level of production out of your first baseman. You got to get some level of production out of a guy that's making $20 million. You got to, and now that's not happening, you've got to hope that whatever call up you have can work. You got to hope that John Singleton plays better and swings it better. You've got to hope that Joey Lupercito is a guy that can come up, and if first base is what you're moving him up for, because it very well could be center field as well, but if first base is what you're moving him up for, then you got to hope that he swings it better. I mean, this is one of those deals where there's no getting that money back, obviously, and you've got to find a way to make it all make sense. But I've seen enough as well.
I don't think we're going to have a resurgence like he had last year. I don't think you can even seriously give him the plate appearances or the time right now to do it. Even with this two-game winning streak, you're still 10 games under 500. You got to roll, and like you just can't afford it. Like you just can't do it. And clearly you could see it, Clint. It's not getting better.
It's broken. I was at a spot where I'm cool with John Singleton getting a ton of run. And as soon as I say that, hell, they ended up starting to bray you. So I'm with you. I think it's broken. I think it's time to make a move. I think the saving grace here for all of us Astros fans is that Dana Brown didn't make this decision. The decision to bring Abreu on.
Oh, it was made before him.
This is a Crane Bagwell decision, and the general manager right now, who appears to have no problem voicing his opinion, stepping on toes, sticking his chest out, and making moves. He doesn't seem to have any problem doing that. This was not a Dana Brown move, but it has to be a Dana Brown fix.
Yeah, and
the fix is on his watch. The move was not. And so I think as fans, that's our only saving grace is we don't have a general manager sitting there like Bagwell is talking about, ah, oh, it'll come around. We're going to get an hour in the cages on off day. It's going to come around.
Yeah, come on.
The saving grace is Dana Brown is in a position where it's his job to fix a problem that somebody else created.
Because Clint and Tyler, if he's there, you almost feel like you got to play him. And so, like, if he's there. Well,
it doesn't make sense for him to be there if you don't.
Right? Yeah. Like, you don't want him coming off the bench. what is his reasoning there? You have now, this to me, and unless Joey's just going to play center field or something like that, which I don't think, you've brought now another fix to try to get something out of first base while he's still there. And that, to me, the move, and I think it would go a long way towards Astros fans. I think it would go a long way even in the, I think everybody loves him in the clubhouse, but I also think they understand, like we ain't serious. The more this is going on, there's issues in the field, there's issues at the plate. You got your $20 million first baseman batting eighth when he does play. I think the move that needs to be made to make room for him needs to be Jose Abreu. Thank you for your time here. You helped us get to an ALCS. You were great in the postseason, but we got to move.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. We can talk it in circles. We can talk it all day long. It's your original point at 2:28 whenever we start. It's time.
It's time.
It's time. And look, like quite
Jeff
frankly,
could,
I think
Jeff could stand out there, and you could stand out there with him for 5 hours.
Yeah,
it's not going to matter.
Look, I think there's a lot of people that again, if you didn't have an answer, like if John Singleton was your only answer, then I could see you keeping him around and playing some back and forth at first base the way you've done center field for some reason for the last 3 years. That whatever, but the fact that you got this low profito kid, now you're making the move of moving him up. And he can play some first base, and he is hotter than. By the way, he leads Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball with 13 home runs. That leads all of them. And this kid's swinging a hot bat with some power.
That you should let him play every day.
I think there's enough people, because of what Abreu's been doing, there's enough fans now that know about him, that care about him, that are saying, hey, you got an answer right there. You got an answer right down the street. Let's see what happens.
At least somebody to try to see if it's an answer. All right. We talked about the first pick with Kamari Lassiter. What do you think about the draft overall? What's your feelings of the draft overall as they made multiple picks, second round, 2 second-rounders, moved up to get a third-round pick? What's your thoughts overall with the draft? We'll discuss that next on The Drive.
The Houston Texans are on the clock.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
With the 42nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Kamari Lassiter, defensive back, Georgia.
All right, that is how it got started right there. Kwame.
Line it up.
Kamari Lassiter, he is the first selection for the Houston Texans. And then from there, they go in the second round, which I thought there was a possibility that they could go for a future pick here, get a player of need with one of the second round picks, and then potentially a future one. They do draft the offensive tackle, Blake Fisher from Notre Dame, and then they trade up to get Kalen Bullock, safety out of USC. They come up, get rid of one of those fourth round picks to the Eagles to get up. Almost 10 spots to get him. Kate Stover, the tight end out of Ohio State, former teammate of C.J. Stroud. They pick up in the fourth round, and then the sixth round, they get a couple of running backs, a defensive tackle in the seventh round from Auburn, and then a guard with their final pick in the seventh round out of Michigan. So 713-572-4610. You can jump in with this. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, your overall feeling as this draft unfolded for the Texans.
It's easy for me. I'm back where I initially was in thinking, hey, you've got a couple of twos, a three, a couple of fours. Like, this draft is not necessarily the deepest draft. The Texans are probably going to get guys that are more like rotational players or developmental players. And that's where I was initially. I let the first round, the way it unfolded, I let that get me a little bit excited, get me good and turned on. And then I let the way that the second round started get me good and horny. And then, boom, here we are. I'm right back where I started. I think you got Kamari Lassiter as a guy that could play multiple positions inside and out from a coverage perspective. I do believe there is a way he gets on the field early and often in a couple of different rotational spots, whether it be corner or nickel defender. Blake Fisher, completely developmental player, nowhere near on the same level as either one of the guys that you have right now at the tackle position. You know, I think he's more of a guy that's on the level of what's my man that's been a swing tackle for the last couple of years, was injured half last year, Charlie Heck. I would expect a Blake Fisher to beat out Charlie Heck as that swing tackle, maybe be involved in some of the heavy formations, be on all the special teams. Kalen Bullock again. Look, I know right now, coming off a bad year for Jalen Petrie and an injured year for Jimmy Ward, the safety position is one that is in some people's eyes maybe suspect. I think those two guys are your starters no matter what. I think Bullock could potentially contribute. Obviously, we went through about six safeties last year.
Yeah.
Kalen Bullock is a guy that could get into the rotation. Cade Stover in the fourth round, the tight end out of Ohio State. He's a guy to me, Ron, again, that has some very similar assets, if you will, to Dalton Schultz, the tight end that you currently have, with a higher side of at least being a more physical, will stick his face in there, at least wants to fight, wants, and I'm not knocking Dalton Schultz, by the way. His forte is catching a football and being a secondary blocker at that point in time. Cade Stover could potentially bring what Dalton brings to the table from a pass game perspective. And he might develop, because he's only been playing tight end for 2 years, he might develop into a better blocking tight end as well. And I think once you get into that, they didn't have a fifth-round pick, you get into this couple of sixth-round picks, several seventh-round picks, you get a bunch of guys, Ron, and I think all of these, with the exception of Blake Fisher, the tackle, fall in this category. I heard Nick Caserio, I believe it was either right before the draft or after round one, talking about the change in the kickoff team and the kickoff return. And special teams have always been important. They've always put an emphasis on it. Nick has always put an emphasis on it. But that change in the kickoff and kickoff return is I think, probably going to drive some of these depth players. You got to be able to run, and you got to be a physical tackler now. It's going to be a little bit different in terms of how you handle a kick return. And the guys returning the kick, I think it's going to favor more of possibly your Damian Pierce running back type guys than maybe your thin framed speedy wide receiver. So I think these sixth and seventh round picks are, for the majority, are guys that can run, guys that love contact, guys that can tackle, and they see helping them there. But your two twos, your three, and your four pick, Ron, are all guys that I think are more, if we see them, it's going to be in rotational. It's going to be in more, I'm talking about see them on offense or defense. It's going to be more in a rotational role early on, and hopefully one of them can develop into something by the end of the year that actually helps the team win ball games.
Yeah, coming through from some on the text line, Lassiter, I believe, had the fastest cone shuttle in the entire draft, reported by coaches and analysts. Bullocks is the best fourth rated in the draft. Fisher is a perfect swing tackle. Stover will match CJ short passes in a very exciting way. Some of the people here on the text line who expressed how they feel about this draft. I just look at this, and to me, this is a, I think the way that you feel about this draft is I think, really pushed in how much you just full out trust Nick and D'Amico in what they see and how they evaluate.
Sure.
Because there's like, there's not, I mean, if I'm just being honest, and that's something they call a hater or whatever, but there's like really no one on the thing that jumps off the page where you're like, damn, okay. Like, I don't really care who the person is who selected this guy. That one, you know, you jump up to go get Will Anderson. That one's not hard. Hell, even last year, Tank Dell, you know, a lot of people, especially around here, saw a lot of Tank and thought, ooh, yes, that's just, there's not, I'm sorry, there's just not one that jumps off the page that said this. So all of it is your trust in Nick and D'Amico, which is very fair if it's high. I think that's where you were, Tyler, right? Most of this is coming off of your trust of what Nick and D'Amico can do here.
Yeah. Ultimately felt very underwhelmed whenever this was all said and done with this draft class the Houston Texans got. But I'm finding myself in this space where I'm leaning on the trust and what I've seen from Nick Caserio, especially here recently. I mean, the dude's been on a heater. So I can't let the underwhelmed feeling overtake my overall evaluation of this draft class, if that makes sense.
Well, Tyler, that's becoming, like, I think your timing's perfect in terms of your trust. Like somebody saying that last year, like, oh, I'm just going to blindly trust these guys.
Right.
Before anything ever happens.
That's much better now, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got a year experience in watching them draft and develop players and bring them along on time and the offense or the defense, putting those guys in position to hide their warts, if you will, and play towards their strengths.
Two rookies of the year.
Yeah, like, absolutely. And by the way, the best example of what you're talking about of guys like Juice Scruggs last year was a guy that when he's drafted, you're like, got it. See, I understand it. That guy's going to play immediately. But the overall point is like, they've built this roster strong enough to where, hell, I hope we don't look at every draft and we can't see five guys in that's like, yep, that guy's going to be this position or that guy's going to help tremendously. I think that's going to become few and far between, maybe not like with next year's first round pick, but it's going to become few and far between of times when, boy, the whole damn board, we're sitting around going, yeah, man, hell, we can see where 75% of them draft picks are going to play next year. Right? Like you said, Will, CJ, Juice, Tank. I mean, every one of those guys, when they were drafted last year, yep, they're going to help. Yep, that guy's going to start. Yep, Tank's going to lead the team. You know, I mean, that's where we were at.
But those would have been guys you would have been jumping up and down to take anyway, right? There's certain guys before a draft that you can talk about that you've seen play. And it's not even just at the top. Like, we've talked about, ooh, man, Anaya Smith, boy, with the right situation, he would be, I'm not even talking about guys at the top. I'm just simply saying, maybe it's just us. We didn't bring up any of these names.
Mm-mm.
I'm just saying that in terms of the basis of your feeling on this has to be surrounded around your trust factor and how high ever your trust factor is with Nick and D'Amico. Because, I mean, nobody was texting in, hey, man, boy, wait till you see Solomon Boyd. I mean, this cat here, he's got a chance later on, maybe in the fourth round. Maybe if you see Jamal Hill, this running back out of Oregon, right? Like, you know, Cade Stover to me is the one that's most intriguing to me. Saw him some at Ohio State. He's physical, former defensive end player that, you know, could be physical at the point of attack. But just like these guys are, like if it were Kool-Aid up there at the top, you were talking about Kool-Aid.
Sure, yeah, yep.
Right. Absolutely. If it were Cooper, White Cooper, we were talking about him. Like, there are players, there were certain players that you were jumping. This rolls off your trust. And if you have full trust in Nick and D'Amico, it's completely understood. I understand it. Now you don't have to. Now, I think there are some who are, like my man Jeff said, meh. Jesse, excuse me, said, meh. I could see that. I can see, like, damn. Well, I hope they got it. I hope they're right here. But no,
Ron, this is why you know, I personally, just as a fan, like I didn't like them trading out of the first round. You know, I didn't like them not making that jump from 42 to 40 so that they could get Cooper DeJean or Kool-Aid or Brandon Fisk or one of those guys. Like I don't like that as you know, as a fan, strictly because I agree to your point. I mean, there's nothing with any of these guys that screams they're gonna go push a starter for their job. Now Kamari like Lassiter better, especially if it's inside and it's Dez King, but
last year they're about, even if you don't count CJ, Will, Tank, those were guys that before the draft, those were names that were being thrown out.
Absolutely.
That you were excited about. And some of the others, you're like, all right, we'll go trust Nick on this one.
Right.
We'll trust Nick on this one. All right. Coming up, Big 3 at 3. We'll continue with the thoughts on the draft. What was the biggest moment in the draft for the Texans? What was the biggest moment for you on over the draft weekend? Also, we'll dive into this weekend series for the Astros. What does it mean? They sweep through the Rockies to win two in a row to feel better in Mexico City. What does it mean? All of that coming up and more right here live on The Drive.
The Drive is live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.